have right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Before I introduce my special guest for today, who's quite a brilliant guy, I want to mention that among the various legal actions taking place, the state of Texas has filed a lawsuit at the Supreme Court against Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin on the grounds that various changes to their voting rules or procedures, either through the courts or via executive actions, violated the Elector's Clause of the Constitution because they did not go through their legislatures. Now, what is fascinating about this lawsuit is that it represents a question of law. It is not dependent on proving any of the votes were fraudulent, the ballot stuffing, other forms of despicable behavior, vote changing. It's purely based upon the fact that the changes to voting were authorized not by the legislature, but by the governor or the secretary of state, which is unconstitutional on its face, insofar as the Constitution specifies that the electors alone are responsible for determining the manner and procedure by means of which the election shall be decided, which means it's directly appealable to the Supreme Court. Now, 8 more states have joined Texas. This is a very significant development. 8 more states have joined. And get this. The Supreme Court has previously ruled in a case called Foster v. Love in 1997 that all ballots received after midnight of the election day are null and void. This means vote stuffing, early morning rigging, subsequent ballot discovery schemes by the Democrats are all unconstitutional and therefore null and void. It also means all the swing states, which simultaneously paused their ballot counting on the evening or early morning, evening of November 3rd, early morning of November 4th, deliberately allowing post-election ballot fraud to take place, shall have their own elections nullified along with all of their electoral votes. My opinion is this is a slam dunk, and it's going to reverse the outcome of the election, that there will be fewer than 270 votes thereby having been acquired by either of the candidates, and that the court will then send the decision back to Congress, where the House will determine the presidency, the Senate, the vice, and where the procedure in the House is that every state is allowed to cast one vote, that the way the votes are cast is determined by the state legislatures, that a minimum of 26 states are controlled by Republican legislatures that would be expected to cast their vote for Donald Trump, only 23 by the Democrats with one split. I believe, therefore, this is how it's all going to play out. And the beauty of it is we have so many states involved, the Supreme Court simply applying a precedent that was already established in 1997, that it's going to be hopelessly unreasonable for the Democrats to protest the election was stolen when their own procedures, and these were in states where they were manipulating the outcome, were violative of the Constitution. I believe this is a tremendous move in the right direction. Those who want to read about the suit can go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org, and I would suggest savor the genius of the Constitution, which the Democrats, in their eagerness to defeat Trump, overwhelmed the election system with all kinds of improper, illegal, and it turns out unconstitutional moves because they were so threatened by his continuation as president of the United States. Now, here to comment on this and any other issue he'd like is a dear friend of long standing. He has a marvelous background in the military. He was an advisor to the Department of Defense on military equipment, on which he's an expert. He served in the Army and the Marine Corps as well. He particularly specified that it would be a blunder to use wheeled vehicles in Iraq because improvised explosive devices would lead to many American troops having arms and legs blown off, that they had to use track vehicles. They nevertheless overrode his recommendation because, as he would subsequently learn, a general wanted to do exploration about the use of prosthetics, artificial limbs, and therefore deliberately put our troops in danger. Here's a man I regard as a 100% patriot who cares about the United States and its future. Mike Sparks, welcome to the Raw Deal.
Glad to be here, Jim, to put some more light on some unfolding issues going on today.
You go right ahead, my friend. I want us to hear your views, your takes. Everyone here knows mine. I want to share yours.
Well, brace yourself. We're going to talk about first what, and then we're going to talk about why. What I want to talk about is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are violating Title 18 of the U.S. Code against hoaxing. They are committing a felony right now irrelevant to the outcome of the presidential election that disqualifies them from holding any U.S. government office. And the penalty is life in prison. This is Title 18, U.S. Code, Section 1038, that they are violating. So you go, okay, Mike, go arrest them. Why are they not being arrested? What I want to talk about is a moral problem the United States as a nation has right now. I call it tolerating individual criminal misconduct, okay, or misbehavior, ICM. Why is it that Americans don't want to hold people individually accountable for crimes? Not just, you know, I nitpick, you know, I break some nitpicky rule and regulation, which has watered down justice. One of the problems systemically of the U.S. Constitution of 1787 is it has Congress always in session making more laws. But if you look at it from a philosophical point of view, why should there be more laws? I mean, you go to the bathroom, you eat, you sleep, you go to work, you die, you pay taxes, you know what I mean? Systemically, John Adams has created a racket for lawyers to stay busy making more laws. That's an aside. But when you have too many laws, you run the risk of crying wolf, where no one will take the law seriously when you need to, like in this case. But I think there's another worse problem, and that is nihilistic, immoral hedonism. The real culture war we're facing is basically hedonists versus Stoics. The hedonists think that they have a right under the U.S. Constitution, freedom that we have, to be a hedonist, which is basically sub-criminal behavior. It's just on the verge of being a criminal. And I think the U.S. Constitution needs to be upgraded, and we need to explicitly say, look, everybody's got to work. If you can, you've got to at least work 20 hours a week, putting some goods and services back into the country. Because what you see is you've got a group of people, perhaps about 50% of the country type B personalities, that don't want to work. And they think that they can have what I call hedo-Marxism, hedonistic Marxism, where they don't work and the other 50% work, and we're going to share that wealth. And those people have not been stimulated by Little House on the Prairie agrarian farming or Rosie the Riveter industrial age production, mass production. We don't do Rosie the Riveter or Little House on the Prairie anymore. So how are these young people going to have moral stoical character built into them? So to save America, you got to do it indirectly. Can't just go get these people off the streets, throw them in jail. What we need to do is in high school, 3 hours each day needs to not be lecture. Sorry, Jim, we get enough lecture. We need to have 3 hours of practical application, cooperative, team reality, life skills training, where people learn how to cooperate, build homes, grow food, fix their clothes, repair a car, right? Each day in high school, and then 2 years of national service afterwards in a functional corps of their choosing. It could be Space Corps, Police Corps, Medical Corps, Spy Corps, High-Speed Train Corps. It doesn't have to be just the military. Conservation Corps, Police Corps. You see what I'm getting at? That's what America needs. We need to launch our youth. We need to put our foot down. The government, you know, the nation state can order people to do things. This is when they need to use their mandatory powers morally. And then young people will thank us later. They'll get the respect they deserve. They'll get a chance to see there's more to life than just being a consumer, get out of the hood. They're going to launch in life. They'll have 2 years of the middle class wages to pay for college. It's a plus plus win win for everybody. It's what America needs to do to save the country, and other nations do it. Israel has 2 year national service. You don't see Israelis going around rioting and looting, right? Because they've had a chance to build that inner moral stoical character. But you see what I'm getting at about the individuals being allowed a pass. Joe Biden should not be allowed a pass, or Harris, because they're running for office, or they're celebrities like Barr just said, oh, I can touch these guys. Says who? You're supposed to uphold the law. Okay? So these people should be arrested, period. It has no relevance whether they're running for office or not. They're breaking a felony law. It disqualifies them from holding any office. But I think the reason why people do not feel like casting the first stone at them is because most Americans do ICM. Most Americans get away with whatever they think it can get away with because they really are functional nihilists. They don't believe there's a God. They really don't. They believe that when you die, the lights go out, party's over. So you better party hardy while you can, while you're alive. And they won't throw a stone. They won't arrest people. Trump, I get the feeling he tries to use a charm offensive all the time. And that's his biggest mistake with Jeff Sessions and William Barr. You need somebody like Rudy Giuliani doing the untouchables to bring these people down. And he doesn't have somebody in the attorney general who will be detached from him. So it won't be him just doing a personal vendetta. It'll be someone upholding the law. The whole point of the United States of America, the rule of law, is that the law is distinct from personal grudges and gripes. You uphold the law from a detached, non-personal interest way. And Trump doesn't have that. So Trump has now backed himself to a corner where he has to arrest these people. And it's going to look bad, but that's just too bad. He should have had this in place so someone could have done it on the grounds of, you know, attacking the office of the president with sedition, or in this case, the America with hoaxing. But I want to give you an example because I'm tired of people BSing and saying I talked to a famous news commentator and he, no. I talked to Sebastian Gorka. I presented the facts. Here's the law. U.S. Code Title 18, Section 10038. They're violating him. And Gorka writes back to me and says, I don't think there is felony violating. I don't think this is serious. This is gibberish. And then I find out that Gorka tried to get on an airplane one time and had a pistol in his luggage. I mean, who is that careless with guns to try to, after, you know, the 9/11, post-9/11 world, try to put a gun in his carry-on luggage? Or check luggage. I mean, how stupid and careless. Because Gorka is an ICM guy. He thinks freedom is dog whistle for getting away with whatever you want that you can. So I really detest that guy. He talks about rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. But then when the time comes to uphold the rule of law on individual criminal misconduct, he won't uphold it. So America's in a moral decay, been in a moral panic since 9/11. Because, you know, again, the U.S. Constitution is weak on reality frauds. The founding fathers did the 1773 Boston Tea Party. They're a little soft on 9/11 type events, Gulf of Tonkin. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution to stop reality fraud. So the U.S. Constitution has to be amended, upgraded with, I think, inquest, an aggressive public inquest system with a grand jury of the United States, so they can't pull these frauds off. This is the latest fraud. Election Gate 2020 is the latest 9/11. It's being done to America. And it's being done also because of the indirect thing I told you about, is that Americans are increasingly out of touch with physical, kinetic reality. Because we are getting more and more digital, that trend is leading people to becoming indoor nerds who don't know things like if you are directly under a 757 airliner, you can't see jack shiite through the windows. Yet 9/11 has people witnessing saying that they saw people screaming in the windows of the 757 that struck the Pentagon. No, you didn't. Go find an airport, drive underneath, you know, the flight pad landing pattern, and see what you can see through the window. You can't see a person in the window, even if you're directly under the airliner. That's just a basic law of reality physics thing that can only be known by direct personal experience. But as we get more and more introverted with our cell phone, we're more easily conned by reality frauds. So what do you think about that so far, Jim?
Well, Mike, I think you want to spell out exactly what fraud you believe they're guilty of having committed, which might be the reason Sebastian was unclear. If you're talking about the election per se and the massive theft of votes using Dominion machines, or whether you mean something different, such as I have observed that during the first debate and since, they've been using a Biden body double. It's not Joe Biden. It's a lookalike. And it's monstrous because that suggests that the Democratic Party is preparing to have the inauguration of someone of whom the American people have no knowledge. It's completely outrageous. I believe it fits all the criteria you've been spelling out and the offenses that have been committed. But I think everyone would like to hear more about your take on the offense itself as opposed to the penalties that ought to be imposed.
I gave it to him explicitly. I said that they are claiming to be president-elect, which is a false statement and a hoax because nobody officially has declared him the winner. And that's a slam dunk. This is, he's doing this fraud before anyone's been elected, you know, officially. So he's guilty of that. It's a moot point, you know, whether he supposedly wins or not. But what I like, what you brought out, I don't like it, I hate it, is that I've also been working on the story of the body double that was killed in the phony bin Laden raid, that there is a guy named Parrott who's being censored in the media, and he's come forward, ex-CIA, and he says that they knew all along that it was a decoy, a doppelganger, bin Laden. You and I both said this at the time, that the real bin Laden was not killed in that raid. It was like a relative or a doppelganger decoy. And he says that the idea was he was going to be set up to be killed to be bragging points for Obama's reelection. This resulted in the SEAL team being murdered by Biden, leaking out their flight plan in their CH-47 Chinook helicopter, so they would be shot down and killed because they knew it was a con, because obviously they, direct personal experience in the raid, saw that it wasn't bin Laden who they, you know, whacked, killed, captured, high-value target. And we said, you and I both realized it immediately, and now we've been vindicated. This guy, Parrott, has come forward. If you try to post his link to his article on Feces Book, they'll deny it. They won't let you link to it.
Mike, let me give a background, little background for the audience, that if they could go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and check out Nick Kohlerstrom, Osama bin Laden, 1957 to 2001, where Nick's an historian of science from the UK. He's published a brilliant book about A False Flag Chronicles, a European perspective, where he goes through 13 staged false flag events in Europe, including about five in the UK. He's quite brilliant. This is a very nice layout of how we know Osama actually died in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001 of his various medical maladies. And if you also go to Zero Dark 30, the deeper, darker truths, I lay out the case and explain exactly what Mike is sketching here, to wit, that Osama was, in fact, our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen, which they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes to drive them out. He was actually an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman. He was visited by an official of the agency at a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death. It's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. There were local obituaries about his death. Both Fox and CNN actually published formal announcements that Osama was dead on 26 December 2001, some of which may still be available online. So what Mike is explaining is even the photograph sent around the world where we had the assemblage of all the highest-ranking officials of the government, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Vice President Joe Biden, President Barack Obama, staring intensely at a large screen TV, which was announced to be them following the event in real time, which was an illusion that was sustained by much of the publicity until Leon Panetta, then the director of the CIA, explained there was no live coverage of the event for the first 20 or 25 minutes, which was the entire lapse duration of the event, totally staged, totally fake, and as Mike has implied, to position Barack Obama as having gotten the most wanted terrorist in the world for a triumphal reelection. It was a total scam. Mike, more and more we're learning recent American history is all manufactured and manipulated, basically made in Hollywood.
Yes, you can see what the picture and the details of the recent whistleblower on my YouTube channel, which is called Dynamic Para 2. We do not charge any money. We do not ask you for like, subscribe, and all that nonsense. No, we don't need money from you. We do this as a public service. So our videos, you click on it, go straight to the information, straight to the facts, like a James Bond movie. But the video is posted now on Dynamic Para 2 on YouTube. That's Dynamic Para 2. And it's because when I joined the internet in 1997, they didn't give me enough letters to write Dynamic Para. So just take the A out, Dynamic Para 2, and you can see the video of the latest revelations backing up what Jim and I found over 9 years ago to be true. So the disturbing reality is this, Jim. Brace yourself. The American people do not realize that James Bond is real. I use that slogan because I'm trying to remind them we don't live in hee-haw anymore. The actual dirty tricks of the intelligence agencies of the world are now being widely used throughout the world, even by private citizens. You got Wynonna Judd spying on Ashley Judd with a car GPS tracking device, for crying out loud. These dirty tricks include doxing, let's find out where the guy works, and let's cancel culture. These are all dirty tricks that the intel agencies of the world did a long time ago, you know, we'll call them analogly, right, before computers, are now being, these dirty tricks are being done digitally.
Hey, Mike, stand by. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after the break.
All right.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
You'll never surrender.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The gut is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution, revolution, revolution. Radio!
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio, Studio A, for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Raw Deal, where, of course, I have my special guest, Mike Sparks, who's laying out a lot of very serious issues. Let me just mention that I have received a notice from a colleague that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the Texas case. This is a very important development because, as I have explained, I believe it is going to nullify any ballots that were cast after midnight on November 3rd and guarantee that no candidate received at least 270 votes by taking out the Electoral College votes that would otherwise have been cast by the four states in question and have the Supreme Court direct the resolution back to the Congress in accordance with the Constitution. Mike, pick it up where you left off, my friend. You're doing a great job. But let me add the following, Mike. all this talk about Biden and Harris as president and vice president-elect is coming from the corrupt mainstream media. They are the perpetrators, which may be the reason why Sebastian Gorka was skeptical. But I agree, they are presenting themselves as though they were, which, of course, is not technically the case until the electors have cast their vote. So I think in strict technical legal language, you are on impeccable ground. But it appears to be the mainstream media that is doing most of the misleading propaganda on behalf of the Democrats and the globalists, which I deplore. Your
right. What's going to happen is people are going to die from it. You could already say people already died from the Biden-Harris hoax, presidential and vice presidential-elect hoax. That people are going to die, already dying, okay? So this makes it a criminal offense that is not subjective. Biden-Harris hoaxing, Gork is trying to make it like, oh, it's just an opinion, subjective. No, it's an objective reality fact that him and her going around saying that they are the elect is setting up the country for nationwide violent riots, looting, murders, and arsons. It's sedition, of course, but it's specifically hoaxing. You could throw the sedition criminal offense in there, too. Gorka doesn't want to throw the book at all at these people because he thinks he's personally soft on individual criminal misconduct on his own personal thing. And America needs to wake up. The thing in the Bible where it says that if you are without sin, cast the first stone, is advice for disciples. It's not the language and the law of how you run a nation state of people. The law of the land for people can't be that unrealistic that we're just going to turn the other cheek. No, the laws have to be upheld or we are, having our houses on fire. If your house is on fire, you can't do John 3:16 and ask Christ to save you or anything because your house is on fire. First things first is you got to have a decent civilized society. And you've got people walking around saying, oh, I'm not perfect. I can't criticize Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. No, this is part of that James Bond is real intelligence agency dirty tricks tradecraft that has now leaked out throughout our entire country to include the decoy doppelganger scam. It's a tradecraft technique. The case of the hoaxing, that's psychological operations, Mr. Garrison. As, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, played by Donald Sutherland, said in Oliver Stone's brilliant movie, JFK, it's black ops. So them going around saying they're president-elect is a slam dunk crime, objective reality fact, and it should be upheld. But we're not upholding our laws in America because people walk around with a tail between their legs saying, well, I'm not perfect. Well, believe me, you just cheating on your taxes or, not mowing your lawn as you're supposed to is not the same as what Biden and Harris is doing, which is going to result in a lot of people dead. So I think it's also instructive that we get ahead of the threat, which you've done brilliantly, Jim, which is to realize that Biden is not physically up to the job of playing president figurehead for the deep state. So if we can integrate a body double decoy, which is common practice for heads of state, Hitler had a body double. I hope he realized when he signed the contract to be Hitler's double, he was going to take one for the fatherland, right? Because he did, right? He's going to have to do that. If you sign up for all this money and all this benefits for being born looking like somebody very important, in the government, famous, right? You're probably going to have to pay for it your life, so you better eat, drink, and be merry, or tomorrow you will die. But the point is that with we as Americans not being connected to reality physically, this con could be pulled over the American people's eyes, especially with 50% of the American people are on Pavlovian dog whistle and bell. Whatever the media says, they just go, yeah, at least 50% of our country, but unfortunately, though fortunately for us, 35%, 35 million, I think, actually voted for Biden. He didn't get 80 million. I think he probably got about 35 million. But it comes out to about 50 million people are immoral nihilist hedonists in America. And they're on a Pavlovian dog whistle with the media. Whatever the media says, they just automatically, uncritically accept it. That means they don't think. We have a generation of people who do not think. They don't live life on their own two feet. They're not connected to physical objective reality. They just buy whatever the headline is. I don't even think that they read much beyond the headline of whatever the story is or whatever the soundbite is that they want, you know, the Illuminati deep state wants them to believe. So I usually say that's the zero think generation that we're living in right now. And it's been dumbed down by cell phones, by you having, as a human being, a limited mental capacity. We all do. You know, I know people smarter than me, okay? You know, I tell them that. You're smarter than me. You think faster than I do. But we all have our limits. If you use up your mental capacity on minutiae, it's a good word. I hate to use it because I forget how to spell it. Nobody knows what it means. Little bitty BS. Your mind is not going to be available for the big issues because you're worried about Jim Bob didn't mow his lawn last week and the community Karens are going to get on your butt for your house looking terrible. You know what I'm saying? The Illuminati said this long ago in the book called Tragedy and Hope by Dr. Carol Quigley, which was Bill Clinton's professor at Georgetown. In the book, he says that Nazi Germany degenerated into this selfish, tribalism. My beer garden is the best beer garden. My neighborhood is the best. And that's what the cell phone does. It does the Nazi Germany parochialism. Of course, there's another word nobody knows what it means. So, my tribe is better than your tribe. Or my house is better than your house. My football team is better than your football team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the country's been divided and conquered by the cell phone. So my advice, first thing to everybody, is turn your damn cell phone off and go out and live life. Reconnect to physical objective reality, which I said earlier, the whole country needs to do with 2 years of national service and 3 hours each day in high school of team reality. We have to consciously make a decision to be physical and not degenerate mentally. And the thing is that President Teddy Roosevelt saw this coming at the 1900s. He said, look, we're going to pave over everything. We're not going to experience anything that challenged our character stoically. So he set apart the national park system. Thank God for that, right? President, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. He saw this, but, he didn't go far enough. We should have mandated 2 years of national service a long time ago to counter the industrial age corruption of just, going to work, Laverne and Shirley, and coming home and just want to kick back and drink a beer kind of thing, right? There's more to life than just being a worker bee in a production plant, Rosie the Riveter, or, blowing off steam, after you're done at your job. Give people, 2 years of national service adventure. There's more to life than just, the lowest common denominator behavior that the free market gives. Now, I know people listening may not like what I'm saying, but look, we're in a mess. You can't go around saying the U.S. Constitution is perfect and we go around drooling over it. Yes, we need to protect it, but it has not been updated. And we're in the mess we're in because we have not updated it. Okay? We need to take responsibility, conservatives, for the foobar mess we're in. Okay? And you say, well, now's not the time. But when's it ever the time? I am so damn tired of it saying, oh, we can't change the Constitution. It's never the time. There's never a nice time to fix something that you should have been fixing as you go along.
Mike, let me just intervene and ask. It would be a really bad idea to have a constitutional convention. So I think what you're really suggesting is some sort of amendment. What specific amendments do you believe ought to be made to the Constitution?
First, we should throw out the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment is the direct election of senators, which 10 states did not ratify. And what that means is that there's a disconnect between state government and federal government. So you go to the state courthouse, what do you talk about? Unless we get this chance that you talked about of selecting the president of the United States, you know, with the Article 12 thing, most of the time you talk about pig farming and, you know, how are people's lawns going to be mowed? There's a disconnect between the state government and federal government the founding fathers did not want. The state senators, I mean, the two people that go to Washington, D.C., were supposed to be temporarily appointed by the state legislatures to serve in Washington, D.C., not floated out there for 6 years where they're bought off by the deep state Illuminati and special, other special interest groups. That six-year senator is the creation of basically a super congressman the founding fathers didn't want. They didn't want that, the mob voting for people and floating them out there for 6 years. That's why they only wanted them floated out there for 2 years. So if somebody shows themselves to be like AOC, a pretty chick, means well, reminds me of the Star Trek series original episode, the episode where Kirk goes back in time and he meets a social worker and she has to die because if she lives, she's going to make America into a pacifist nation and the Nazis are going to win World War II. That's considered the best episode of Star Trek, incidentally. She reminds me of that episode of Star Trek. But anyway, the point is that she needs to be voted out and she needs to go back and find a husband and reconnect to reality. Okay? That's very sexist that I'm saying it, but that's what men do. Men need to assert themselves and put some order into this planet. That's what AOC needs is a man. But anyway, the point is the founding fathers knew that the mob would go for fads like AOC, and that's why they only had the congressman there for, you know, they only have him there for 2 years. They don't want a congressman there for 6 years, which is what the senators are doing. So the first thing I do is ditch the 17th Amendment and make it so that the senators are temporarily appointed by the state legislatures, subject to recall. Okay, so that's the thing. And the other thing is I would have an amendment for reality fraud. That could be an amendment unto itself. The inquest grand jury of the United States could be an amendment. The 2 years of national service and the 3 hours each day in high school could be an amendment. This could be done with amendments. You don't have to open up the can of worms and let the Tito Marxists destroy the good that's already there in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And many have faulted the idea of the 17th Amendment having direct elections of the senators, which were previously determined by the state legislatures. I think you're right about that, and you'd find a lot of agreement from constitutional experts, Mike.
What will happen, I think one of them is Jim Dean, you know, the attorney for Nixon, likes the 17th Amendment being ditched, is that national issues will be discussed again in the state courthouse. That's the way it was supposed to be, a seamless interaction between the people, we the people, by the people, for the people, of the people, right? Abraham Lincoln. And there are elected representatives at the state level, all the way to the federal level. That was the intention of our founding fathers. So what you have here is a situation where over time, the weakness, vulnerabilities of the, you know, U.S. Constitution have been exploited by the elite. And this one I'm not sure of, but we should make it so that everybody that is a member of any U.S. government position, elected or, you know, appointed, whatever, employee, must sign a written version of the U.S. Constitution and uphold it, subject to being, you know, indicted, arrested, and imprisoned if they don't uphold the U.S. Constitution, because Biden and Harris are doing that too. They're not upholding their oaths to uphold the U.S. Constitution, right? But because it's getting a yada, yada, yada treatment, it's just oral. You just raise your hand as a photo op. Stop that. It needs to be a written – we need to take the Constitution seriously in written form. So that could be something too. The another one is that we should just ban all secret society members from holding any position in the, you know, U.S. government. No secret society members, period. No Masons, no Illuminati, no nothing. You can't have two masters. You can't be serving we the people and then be serving Hiram Abiff. okay, with your secret squirrel handshake, hand salute. Can't be doing that. You got to serve the American people above board, not with underhanded little dirty tricks. Like, he's one of us. We're going to back him and not President Trump. So the thing with, you know, Governor Kemp being bought off by the Chinese, you know, the American people can see that because the American people are driven by money. A lot of them aren't moral, and they could see that as the corrupt goal of the deep state Illuminati. But, you know, as you know, we wrote a book, James Bond is Real, 9 years ago, and we said there are actually four main goals of the Illuminati. And I would add a fifth now, which is we did a radio show on that, which would be transhumanism, try to extend life so you live long. Why is Henry Kissinger still alive? That kind of question. Chuck Yeager died recently. That's sad. He was a good man. But anyway, the point is, one, destroy the individual who can make a difference. Two, maximize profits. The American people understand that one. Three, depopulate. And the Georgia Guidestones wants us to go under 1 billion population on planet Earth. They want 500 million. You know, got to have enough people to clean the streets, run the sewers, treatment plants for the elites, right? And then four, get everybody on the same sheet of music. You know, the global reset, build back better. All that crap is basically a Nuremberg defense. Basically, if Satan doesn't win, they want to be able to go to the Lord and say, well, everyone was doing the same thing. You can't punish us. We're all in it. You know, Nuremberg defense. And then I would add, like I said, the transhumanism. Extend life any way you can. You know, make a cyborg George Soros or something, right? Kind of a predicted, you know, in Hollywood with, you know, RoboCop movies, $6 million man. Try to make this a little fun for the listeners there a little bit. They remember from their childhood, you know, Lee Majors, $6 million man, slow motion. I thought it looked better when it was sped up. The action was sped up, not the da-da-da-da-da. But we as kids would always play $6 million man in slow motion. Like we would with, you know, the NFL films. My brother and I would play football in slow motion.
Mike, let me announce the number, the call-in number, for those who'd like to speak with you and me about these issues. The number is 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540-352-4452. And I would add, not only has the Supreme Court agreed to hear the Texas case, which now is being filed by at least eight different states, but they've given Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin until 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow to respond. This is on a fast track. Very appropriate. I'm glad to hear this. Meanwhile, if you want to speak to Mike Sparks or me about any of the issues we've been addressing, 540-352-4452. Mike, you got about 2 minutes or so to put together an overview of what you've been telling us today in anticipation of callers after the break.
Right. We have a situation where Title 18 U.S. Code against felony hoaxing is being perpetrated by Biden and Harris declaring themselves the elect when no official results have been put out. It's a slam dunk just as strong as the unconstitutionality of the elections in the various states going to the Supreme Court right now. People are going to die because of these people hoaxing that they are the elect put out by the media, who also should be arrested too. If the media is only run by six shell corporations, the head of those six corporations should also be arrested for felony hoaxing. Because people are going to die from this. Now, also, a subsidiary issue is the decoy doppelganger thing that even Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have had decoys spotted. We're not sure if it's even had a baby, that it may have been just one of those little doll thingies in her hands. But they're both liars, and they have been spotted with people that don't look like them at public events. So this scam of fooling the sheeple with a decoy doppelganger is just getting out of hand, so that we could have a Biden decoy as president, and the real decoy is in his basement, you know, drooling over 14-year-old girl's hair. I mean, we're talking about reality fraud at such a dangerous level because there's no reality check. Okay? There should be a legal requirement of health to run for president. That could be an amendment to the Constitution. Biden is not healthy enough, nor was Hillary, to run for president. Okay? And there also should be in that some kind of check to make sure it's the same person. You know, some kind of retinal scan, fingerprint, you know, DNA, whatever, that we the people say, hey, look, this guy doesn't look like the guy we elected. You did a switch. Now, of course, there's a movie on this, you know, Revelation of the Method called Dave. It's a lighthearted movie. But none of this stuff that comes out of Hollywood is necessarily lighthearted. It could be this revelation of the method concept that basically, you know, brace yourselves, people. God Almighty has told Satan, you've got to show your hand. You guys get the first licks in because you're evil against these good faith people living on my planet. I mandate that you have to at least give them an advance warning of what you do. I'm just telling you, that's what ROTM think is. It's established. It's out there. That's the thinking that God has given us a handicap because evil's so evil. So anyway, that's why they do it. A lot of people say, well, they're just showboating too. Yeah, they showboat too. Nah, we're going to do this to you. We're going to show it to you in a Hollywood movie. It was Simpsons cartoon. And then we do it. To mock us. You know, to mock the sheeple for not being awake and not awoke. But the point is that this is a preliminary hoax of Biden and Harris claiming to be the elect. Well, it could be followed on by doppelganger decoys.
Well, Mike, there are already laws against this, okay? They're already in violation of campaign laws, federal laws. They've taken money under false pretenses. And frankly, we don't need another layer of phony fact checkers where you got to fact check the fact checkers. I think the American people are sensible enough as a rule. Look, so far as I can tell, the actual vote was 73 million plus for Donald Trump, 23 million for Biden. Very parallel to their Twitter accounts, where Trump had over 90 million, Biden about 16. We'll be coming up to the break shortly. I want to encourage everyone, call in to speak to Mike Starks and me about these issues. Look for you then.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to report the sensational development that the state of Texas filed a lawsuit at the U.S. Supreme Court against Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin on the ground that various changes to their voting rules or procedures, either through the courts or via executive actions, violated the Elector's Clause of the Constitution because they did not go through the legislatures. What this means is that they have violated the clause by means of allowing ballots subsequent to midnight on the 3rd of November, where there's a previous case from 1997, Foster versus Love, that all ballots received after midnight of the election day are null and void. The beauty of this case is that it doesn't hinge on any specific details about any voter fraud, ballot stuffing, switching of ballots, etc., all of which exists in massive forms, but where procedurally to proceed through the courts, the circuit appellate to reach the Supreme would be no doubt time-consuming. This is an elegant case because it's a direct issue of law on which the court can be appealed to directly. And the Supreme Court has agreed to hear the Texas election case and given the states until 3 p.m. tomorrow to respond. My belief, therefore, is that they will render a verdict in favor of the Texas suit, which has now been joined by at least 8 other states, which will send the, because no, neither of the candidates will have received 270 votes, in accordance with the Constitution, will be sent back to Congress for disposition, where the House will determine the president, the Senate, the vice, where each state has one vote of the 50 states. 26 are controlled by Republicans, 23 by Democrats, one split. I therefore predict with high confidence that the House, ironically, given that Nancy Pelosi is a speaker and was unquestionably a key figure in managing the theft of the election, will rule that Donald Trump has been reelected to a second term as president of the United States. Now, I repeat, for any who want to join Mike and me with questions, the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, Mike, continue with your presentation of your conclusions, your opinions, and your views.
Yeah, let me merge what you just said. That's constitutional fraud, vitiates everything. We've talked earlier in earlier shows about FBE coming from our good friend, the former economics advisor to George Bush, gave that to me, FBE concept. It's a legal concept that once you show one side is not acting in good faith, you've got to dismiss everything. And in this case, it's very important that we make it clear that this is a gotcha game, technicality, that they should have asked Mother, may I? No. This is about the write-in ballots, which have been tried before in 1864. Are you aware of that? In 1864, they tried this write-in ballot scam to unseat President Lincoln. This is an old idea of cheating. So this is not A-OK, and this is not just gotcha game. The Republicans found a loophole so they can illegally take power. No, the Republicans won in a landslide, like you said, 73 million to 23. So it's a steal. It's illegitimate. No decent person can tolerate it. But moreover, this theft is nullified by them illegally instigating it by, you know, not going properly, doing properly, constitutionally changing the laws at the state level, which resulted in these fake mail-in ballots. So in other words, all these people that want to go riot and loot saying, oh, we stole the election from us. No, we didn't. You tried to steal the election and you were caught. You have no right to go out in the street and riot, loot, murder, and arson. There's no justification for that. Two wrongs don't make a right. And they're in the wrong twice here.
Mike, we have a caller, Dominic from New York. Dominic, join the conversation.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer and your guest. I got so many things on my mind today. I'm so upset that first thing I did, I woke up today and started checking the news. And in New York State, a bar association has already passed a resolution for mandatory vaccinations. Also, now there's a bill being presented in the House in New York to enforce mandatory vaccinations, of course, by one of the chosen ones introduced it. That's just one of the things that's got me upset. Obviously, this election, which was obviously stolen. And in New York here, we had a congressional race where the Republican won by 12 votes. And a month later, the Democrats came up with 55 votes a month later to change the race to give it to the Republican. I mean, there's just so much
to give it to the Democrat.
I'm sorry, to the Democrat. I don't know if it's been decided yet if they're going to accept that, but I mean, the fraud is just so unbelievable that it just makes me sick to my stomach. And I just also wanted to say that your guest has a lot of solutions, but they're not particularly addressing the problem we're in now. And that is this press, which is totally corrupt, all the mainstream media. And in past years, when I was younger, I'm an old man now, all these media conglomerates were not allowed to merge into the six corporations now to control everything, that have the people brainwashed into believing all of their bullshit, and that's part of our problem right there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That can be solved.
I'm sure you're going to find a lot of agreement from Mike Sparks. Mike, go ahead, address.
That can be solved by the basic fact of libel being upheld. We don't have libel laws in the United States. No, we don't. This idea that you can't sue somebody for libel unless they win and start hurting you to have legal standing is BS. If you lie, you need to be able to be taken to court and found guilty. You need the penalty at least needs to be 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine. If we had actually valued the truth and had actual libel laws, these media conglomerates, when they lie every single instant, they should be able to be taken to court and punished. But we have this idea that the First Amendment means you can basically bullshit. You can basically say shit that isn't true because that's your First Amendment right. No, your First Amendment doesn't say you can go to a crowded theater and cry fire when there's no fire. So we have a problem. The caller's right. We do not value the truth in the United States, and we need to change the laws so that you can't cry fire and use the First Amendment as an excuse. First Amendment should only be allowed if it's in good faith.
Mike, I hate to disagree with you. Yes, there are restrictions on First Amendment, such as you authorize, because it could set up a panic and people would be harmed. But we have to allow all speech. We have no special access to truth. Everyone must have the opportunity to say. And the whole point of the First Amendment is to allow unpopular speech to be said. There's no one who's in the position to arbitrate the difference between truth and falsity. That's where we get the absurd situation of the fact checkers.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
it. Mike, wait. The fact checkers don't know, for example. If you said Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot JFK, the fact checker would probably say that's false. But we know there were at least eight shooters of JFK now, and Lee Oswald was actually in the doorway of the book depository. So we cannot have laws that require freedom of speech only be allowed for true speech. We don't know what's true. We have to
libel. If you're being attacked directly.
I'm going to bring you back. I'm giving you lots of time, Mike.
I'm listening.
The point I'm making is no, we want completely unrestricted freedom of speech. Let everyone express their view with the absence of, you know, pornography, for example, which is actually abundant on the internet. You simply have to be 18 or older, ostensibly, to watch it. And we have laws against defamation, for example, which are subject to abuse. There are lots of laws that apply, Mike, but we want to embrace unrestricted freedom of speech. By the way, before we proceed, Mitchell, my producer, who's on top of all these issues, has found there are 12 more uncounted ballots in the New York case Dominic was talking about. I believe, Mitchell, join us and clarify. Mitchell may have had to step away. Mike, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, defamation is libel, Jim. That's what I'm talking about. If you say a lie about a specific person, you should be able to get justice from that and not have to prove that they won and actually hurt you. I'm talking from personal experience, Jim, and you know it too, that our libel laws are crap. You should be able to go to court and say, this is a lie, this is attacking me, I want it stopped, and I don't have to show that my house has been mortgaged to pay for legal expenses.
I don't think there's any point in debating about libel law and defamation, about which I know a great deal.
I know you do.
It seems to me There's not a problem there. There is maybe a problem obtaining legal representation. The costs involve phony libel lawsuits, but there are laws governing all of that. Let's bring
they're
back Dominic, go ahead. Say more, my friend.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we're at the point in this country where people don't even care about the Constitution anymore. We had a president of the United States, George W. Bush, who said, oh, it's just an old piece of paper. It doesn't matter anymore. It's outdated. And that's part of the problem. We have judges that don't go by the Constitution. We have law enforcement agencies that don't go by the Constitution. We have all these people that commit the biggest crimes in our country that nothing happens to, but if you spit on a sidewalk, they're ready to throw you in jail. That's part of the problem we got here, that I can't see how we're going to overcome this. And I hope that if the courts do not remedy this situation with this election, that Trump calls a national emergency and brings in the military. It's that bad, or we lose our country.
Dominic, I think you missed my special reports today, because it turns out that Texas filed a case against Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin for allowing electoral practices to take place that had not been approved by the legislature, which would include taking ballots that were cast past midnight on November 3rd. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case and has given the four states until tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time to respond, where I believe the result is going to be, given there's already a precedent from 1997, to reject those states' electors, leave both Biden and Trump with fewer than 270, send it back to the Congress, where the House will vote to decide the presidency, the Senate, the vice, and where each state in the House will have one vote, 50 states, where the Republicans control 26, the Democrats 23, where one is divided. So I believe we're going to see the fallout here is to nullify the theft of the election and have things straightened out. I'm very pleased to report to you today.
I did hear that report, Dr. Fetzer, and I guess I've lost so much confidence in this country that I'm not even sure the Supreme Court will do what's right. I just, you know, I mean, things are so bad now that how can people have any confidence in any of these courts?
Well, that's why I believe it's all the more imperative for the Supreme Court to rule on this issue. And I predict with great confidence it's not going to be a divided decision. It's going to be 9-0. That the states violated the Constitution, and therefore the decision must be returned to the Congress. That, Dominic, you stand by. This is going to happen very, very rapidly.
Well, I pray that you're right, Dr. Fetzer, because I see nothing but dark days ahead in this country if this just stands the way it
is. Dominic, and I agree with you about all your concerns about the vaccination. It's all absurd, and we have to focus on that with great urgency, because these vaccines, frankly, it looks to me like the vaccinations are the equivalent to a liquid lobotomy, that they're going to turn us into sheeple so we're easier to manage. I already have a report that four persons who received one of these vaccines wound up with their faces frozen. Now, it's a matter of the Nuremberg Code that was adopted by the world in the wake of the Mengele experiments on prisoners of war without their consent, that no intrusive medical procedure may take place without the informed consent of the party, which means they have to know all the risks and all the hazards as well as the alleged benefits, and that no one can compel you to take a vaccination you do not want to take. I want Trump to get straight on this. I'm very concerned by the extent to which he appears to be supporting vaccinations. That's an ultimate issue for me. And I recommend no one should take this vaccine unless, you know, they're willing to put their lives in jeopardy, because in my opinion, that's exactly what's going to be involved here. I'm very glad you brought up what's going on in New York Dominic, because New York has just gone stark raving mad between your Governor Cuomo and your Mayor de Blasio. The great state of New York is being reduced to rubble. It's absolutely shocking, embarrassing, and wrong.
I just want to say one more thing, and then I'll let you go. And that is, I'm an old man, and nobody's going to stick no needle in me unless they're going to face getting their face blown off, because I'm not going to accept it. I don't care.
Dominic, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks so much for calling, Dominic. Mike, go ahead.
I sent you a picture that shows you how to reject the vaccine legally. It's a little inside baseball-ish, but it's at combatreform.org/howtorefuseavaccinelegally.jpg.
Repeat it, Mike. Repeat it.
combatreform.org/howtorefuseavaccinelegally.jpg.
Okay, I want to write it.
combatreform.org. No, it's .org.
Okay. Combatreform.org/
How to refuse a vaccine legally .jpg.
Okay. Excellent. I'll get it out.
The other thing I wanted to say to Dominic, the legal binding of the people to the U.S. Constitution has to be in writing. This holding your hand up, taking an oath that we did, you know, in the military, just isn't enough. He's pointing out that nobody's upholding the Constitution, as we discussed earlier, is necessary to be detached. So the rule of law is king and not the king of the law. For that to happen, we need to take the Constitution seriously in written form and have people sign it, this document, this legally binding contract, that if they're working for the U.S. government, they have to uphold the Constitution. And then we'd be in a position to arrest people like Hillary and Biden and Harris. It just is, it isn't good enough, the raising your hand and saying the oath. You and I both know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what needs to be done real quick.
Let me reiterate, if anyone wants to call in, I see it. I have your JPEG, how to legally decline the vaccine, Mike. I'm glad to have it. Please share with everyone you care about. I agree with that. Here's a number to call in. 504-352-4452. 504-352-4452. Mitchell, you're welcome to join about the more uncounted ballots if you have the opportunity. 540. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mitchell.
Yeah, it's 540-352, not
right.
504.
What had I said?
That you said 504, but no sweat. They'll keep calling, I'm sure. Let's see. 12 more ballots were found in the county in New York, where they had found 55 ballots. In this ultra tight race, where you know the unofficial results have Tenney went in by 12 votes, and so
the Democrats are going to do everything they can to steal that election too. I mean, look, that's their trademark now.
Yeah.
They cannot defeat the Republicans legitimately, so they have to cheat to lie and steal.
Well, they said in the news article that 11 of the 55 votes that were found were essentially people that were not even registered to vote.
Yes, that's a
yeah. Bruce from Texas has just joined us.
Excellent. Bruce, join the conversation. I'm so proud of Texas for filing this lawsuit, Bruce. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am too. Someone has to stand up. I'm glad Texas is, you know, a little bit more independent minded than a lot of the other states.
Hey, I just wanted to throw this one thing at you. Did you ever have chicken pox before?
Yeah, I had chicken pox when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah, most of us did, you know. Do you remember they used to have pox parties back in the 60s, 50s?
Yeah, for everybody to get the chicken pox to get it out of the way. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's totally different with this COVID stuff, which is completely fabricated. It's really embarrassingly bad what's going on here. The test is issuing false positives, and they're using it improperly. It's a function of cycles, which is like how many times you replicate a Xerox. You know, if you do a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox, how distorted it gets. Well, it's similar with a CPR test. If you do it beyond 35 cycles, that would be roughly 35 degrees of magnification. Even Anthony, Tony the Rat Fauci has admitted it's worthless, and yet the FDA has recommended it should be done at 40 cycles, which means virtually all the test results are useless, worse than useless, because they're giving false positives that are causing actions to be taken. Remember, from the beginning, getting a positive result on a test did not mean you were sick. This is the elementary fallacy of equivocation about the word case, where they're talking about how many cases there are. That means positive results, the overwhelming majority of which are false positives, versus a minuscule number of persons who may have the flu or some other event unrelated to coronavirus. We're about to hit the break. I just want to encourage everyone, call on in if you like, 540-352-4452. Bruce, stick around. I want to continue our conversation with you and Mike Sparks after the break.
Okay, I just want to say, I wouldn't say it's useless. It's useful if you want to push a panic on everybody and force this whole thing through, you know?
Yes. I mean, useless as a bona fide diagnostic instrument, very useful to promote propaganda and disinformation. You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
They want to put a card in your wallet showing that you took the vaccine.
We're on the break. We'll be right back.
Okay. I just wanted to alert you to that. We'll talk about it.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction,
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where we had an excellent call from Dominic in New York. We now have Bruce from Texas on with us. And, of course, Mike Sparks is my featured guest today. Mike, you had some thoughts you wanted to add before the break. Go ahead.
Yeah. Lori Price of Citizens for Legitimate Government reports that the U.S. government's going to issue a wallet-sized COVID vaccination card. And they might be withholding stimulus checks if you don't take the vaccine. This will be their way to browbeat you into taking the vaccine.
Well, I think this is a bottom line issue, Mike, and we may have to fight a revolution to defeat it. This is completely absurd and inappropriate, completely wrong, but it's what those who are behind the Great Reset want to impose upon us. It's a way of tracking us, manipulating us, ruining our lives. They're already precluding us from going to football games, to concerts, to plays, to restaurants, to visit with our families and friends. They're trying to deprive us of everything that gives meaning to our lives. I do not accept it. I will not go along with it. And I believe the overwhelming majority of Americans are with me and you on this issue. Absolutely absurd. It must be defeated. The whole thing is a fraud. Go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org. I encourage everyone who's not familiar with the evidence and start reading the blogs backwards in time, and you'll see the massive evidence we have that lockdowns don't work, that actually they increase death, that masks are counterproductive. You're recycling oxygen-depleted air that kills your brain cells, which strains on your cardiovascular system, that young people, children, need oxygen to grow and develop their brains, and it's a criminal offense, in essence, to impose that upon them. Social distancing, that's really to promote the use of AI to track all of us by means of satellites. It's easier for them to do if we don't collect together in groups. But we must do this to maintain our immune system. Everything they're telling us to do weakens our immune system. It doesn't make us stronger. It makes us weaker, which, of course, was the plan all along. Bruce, join the conversation.
Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to throw wood on the fire, people that have hypertension typically have lower cerebral blood flow. So you're putting a mask on a lot of people who really don't, it really will impact them worse.
Yes, good. That's a great point, Bruce.
Thank you.
Yeah, basically, they came off as good Samaritans trying to put us in lockdown for our best interest, but really, we should have known all along, and we did, that the ulterior motives are to advance the Illuminati deep state's agenda of the, you know, depersonalizing all of us as the five goals, you know, we outlined earlier in the show. They want to destroy the individual that can make a difference. And the social distancing is a technological thing that if we're separated, they can easily use facial recognition. If we're too closely together, the facial recognition has a hard time differentiating the person that they're trying to target. But, you know, all these dirty tradecraft things date back to World War II. If you want to anticipate what they're going to do, go back to World War II, you'll see that there's an analog antecedent to whatever they're doing now digitally. Like, you know, Commander Ian Fleming figured out we could put a dead body together, put him in a Marine uniform, give them some fake documents and make Germany think that we're going to invade Italy, for example, the man that knew too much. So all these dirty tricks, the American people have to wake up and realize that it's possible. And the one that I've gotten a lot of flack on, are you aware of the staffer, the governor, state governor, Loeffler's aide, a guy, young man, 20 years old, named Deal, got killed in a car crash, fiery car crash, right after Governor Kemp said, well, maybe we'll audit the ballots. It's now possible, and it's always been possible, to steer somebody into a crash. The Princess Di situation is a possibility. Did anyone do any forensics of her limousine to see if there was a steering device? And there's even a movie on it called The Killer Elite. It's a remake of an earlier movie, but in the movie remake, they show them putting a steering device into a truck so that the person they want to kill T-bones into it. You know, we have to wake up and realize we live in the 21st century. There are dirty trick technological devices out there, and these people will use them as long as we're naive about thinking that they can't be used. You know, the fallout from this is that everybody needs to keep an eye on their car. And you can't leave your car unattended. They could put a GPS tracking device on it, or worse, put a steering device in it, let alone a bomb.
Well, Mike, we can't just stay with our car 24 hours a day. What you mean is we have to take reasonable precautions to ensure we're not subject to attack. But it's very, very difficult to protect ourselves. Bruce, you had further, or was it Mitchell?
Yeah. Well, if Mitchell doesn't, I do.
Mitchell, do you have a further
idea? Yeah, Michael Hastings, you know, for one.
Yes.
You know, if you're high profile.
Yes.
And Michael Hastings, and they said the neighbors or the residents said it sounded like a bomb went off on his vehicle.
I think that's what appears to have happened to this young man, who is actually the boyfriend of the governor's daughter, as I understand it. Very, very nasty.
Yeah. Did you ever see Capricorn 1? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, a reporter played by Elliot Gould, his brakes go out, you know, when he's on the trail, when he finds out that his friend has contacted NASA, goes missing, and, his brakes go out.
Yeah, and that's about the movie. Yeah, and it's a fiction. What we're dealing here is real, but of course you're right, it's a comparison.
Edgar Steele. Have you ever heard of him? He was an attorney that defended some quote-unquote white supremacists successfully. And he had a handyman that was contacted by the FBI as an informant. And he put a bomb underneath Edgar Steele's wife's SUV, and it was discovered at a muffler shop. And Edgar Steele was still prosecuted for attempting to murder his wife, even though she went to his defense saying that it was a setup. Well, he was murdered in prison, federal prison.
Yeah, that's a convenient way to get rid of persons who are revealing too much truth. I couldn't agree more. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I think we have a prison racket system. The prison comp is what people call it. And the one of the guilts of law enforcement organizations, LEOs, is that they run the prison comp racket, and they're not interested in justice. They're interested in keeping their prisons filled. And, of course, once you get to prison, there's this nod and wink that it's okay for people to be homosexually raped. I disagree with that. If you go to prison and the punishment is 5 years in prison, that's the punishment. There's no, should be no nod and wink that you're going to get this extrajudicial. People aren't going to know what that means. This unauthorized punishment by the fellow inmate. I don't believe that this is what true justice demands. I think that people, if they do something wrong and it's a property crime, they need to pay restitution. They need to be working some kind of job somewhere, some kind of work farm kind of situation. I don't think we should put people in cages and have them become better criminals, lifting weights and getting tips from their gangs that they join in the prison.
We have another caller joining us. Go ahead, speak right up, caller. Join us.
Is that me? Am I on?
It's you, Paul. Yeah.
So the 9-0 Supreme Court thing that you mentioned, I'll take that bet.
Okay.
We'll make it 20 bucks. I'll even give you 7-2. So this is a real bet.
You'll give me up to 7-2. In other words,
7-2.
Okay, you got it. You got it, okay. My friend. You got it. We're on.
Okay. So a $20 bill will be going in the mail one way or the other.
You got it, Paul.
I would be prepared, just so you know, the way things have been going, you know, it looks like the fix is in, so I wouldn't be shocked if they find some arcane reason to, you know, dismiss it, you know, or rule against it. So just, you know, be prepared.
I think you're wrong because, you know, it would have been easier for them just to ignore it or not be willing to hear it. But now they're not only hearing it, but they're giving the states until 3 o'clock tomorrow Eastern time to respond. They're fast tracking.
Right.
Paul, look, I understand your skepticism. I'm glad to take the bet. Okay. So go ahead and add whatever else you'd like to add today, because you're always a boundless source of thought and commentary. Go for it.
Thank you. Well, I just will add one thing based upon what Bruce said earlier when he brought up the chicken pox and based upon, you know, the Monday conversation and the direction that was taking. So, Bruce, here's what I would recommend, and for anybody out there. Suzanne Humphreys wrote a book called Shattering Illusions. You can hear, if you don't want to read it, you can hear her speak about this book and about other topics. Actually, she's quite an accomplished research scientist as well as just a doctor. And the whole history of vaccines is extremely dark and it's fraudulent. There's a great website I recently discovered. It's called vaccinefraud.com. And they go to the original guy by the name of Fleming, I believe. And he was one of the ones that was first experimenting with this cowpox, you know, cowpox in cows and smallpox in humans. And he was trying to actually inoculate both with the disease. And in most cases, he was failing because it wasn't really infectious. And he did not really understand what was going on. And he actually tried to come up with a vaccine. And, of course, it didn't work. There's a tremendous amount of fraud in this area. I personally believe, and I know that I'm right, that no vaccine has ever conferred any immunity to anyone, and that they've always been poisoned, because it's not just a flawed science, it's a fraud. And the one other recommendation I'll make to you, Bruce, and anybody else who's listening, besides, to repeat, Suzanne Humphrey's great book, Shattering Illusions, but also... Stefan,
can I reply?
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay.
What was your question,
Jim? Yeah. I don't believe I've endorsed vaccines at all.
No. I'm not saying that you are, but there's. I think you don't have quite a full understanding of what infectious disease is.
What you're implying yesterday or last time that that viruses are actually not real?
Okay, see, this is an infantile.
I'm asking you a question. Don't get angry. Just answer it, yes or no.
Infantile assertion. Listen to me. Did I ever say, quote, viruses aren't real? No, I never said that. But it's a much bigger picture than that. What we think of as viruses and what they say are viruses, it's not the same. Viruses do not cause disease. It's never been shown.
Viruses don't cause chicken pox? What causes chicken pox, then?
You should know. You brought it up. Can you tell us? Can you tell us what causes chicken pox? Okay.
Well,
so
chicken pox
again,
is caused by the chicken pox virus.
Before you open your mouth, okay, you should do a little work. If you've not listened to Andrew Kaufman, if you've not listened to Stefan Lanka, if you've not listened to Dr. Thomas Cowan, then you don't have the full picture. Go to BitChute. As soon as this show is over, go to BitChute and type in.
Okay, listen. We're getting a little intense and personal here. Mike, I'd like you to bring it back to issues.
That's all he's got there, Jim.
Bruce, yeah, I was going to say my understanding.
I'm calling a timeout here. Mike, go ahead with your.
My understanding of the virus problem is we don't understand what a virus is. It may not be quote unquote alive according to the definition. It needs a host organism to reproduce. So according to the definition of what a living organism is, the virus isn't technically alive.
Correct.
Viruses have a very weird status, I agree. And, of course, Paul is right that we all need to do more extensive research on this. But in the meanwhile, Mike has this wonderful idea of how to refuse a vaccine. Why don't you talk about the ingredients there on your recommendation, Mike? I was just taking a look at it myself. Tell us more.
It says, do not refuse a vaccine. It's like when the cops arrest you, there are certain things you don't want to say. Don't ever say, yeah, go ahead and check my car out or my house. Come in. Never do that. So don't refuse the vaccine because you'll be considered a belligerent. Instead, you can politely decline the service by ask the doctor, does the vaccine have MRC5 in it? And you already know the answer. They all do. They are aborted fetal cells and other DNA. If the vaccine contains MRC5, you have a right to decline it. So what they're trying to do is give you a legal loophole you can use so you don't come off as being a tinfoil hat guy. So you can reject it. Step three is there a possibility of a latrogenic reaction? This is an adverse reaction caused by multiple compounds or drugs interacting with each other. You know, when you see the commercials on TV, if you take Lafunsa, there's a possibility you might have hearing loss, your legs might fall off, and you might have instant death. Otherwise, it's not bad. Anyway, the fine print kind of thing from the vaccine. And the answer is they all do have these latrogenic reactions. So when the doctor says, yes, it does, then it says, you've got your justification, your get-out-of-vaccine-free card. Thank the doctor for his offer and walk away.
Yeah, let me repeat. You can find this card at combatreform.org/ how to refuse a vaccine legally.jpg. Check it out, combatreform.org. If they just go there, Mike, are they going to be able to find it? If it's easier to remember combatreform.org, but / how to refuse a vaccine legally, it's there.
Yeah, it's not too hard. I tried to make it self-explanatory and my names of files and web pages so we can recite it orally.
Okay.
YouTube
right, so,
doesn't do that.
Okay, so well, just for kicks and giggles on this whole idea, right?
Oh, Paul, go ahead.
The government doesn't really have this authority. It's a pretended authority, just like so many other things they're doing. So that being said, they're not going to let people out if this is indeed their agenda. I think it's going to be a much softer approach. There's nobody's going to go door to door. The military's not going to be involved. It's just going to start out with certain professions like healthcare workers. And they're going to move it down the chain. There'll be like a food people and transportation. And, you know, you're going to need to have the certificate or the card. And just like here in California, when they passed it for school children, they got rid of the religious exemption. So basically, there are no other exemptions available for school children here in California to go to a public school. That's why a lot of people are being homeschooled here, just like in so many other states. Not just because of the fact that the school systems are no good anymore, but in here in California, when they passed that so-called law that you could no longer opt out of the vaccine. So even though I agree with what you're talking about here with the how to legally refuse, that's not going to do most people any good when it comes to, you know, they're going to want to work. And that's how they're going to do it, in my opinion.
No, you make a good point. The problem is that, you know, when you take a vaccine like this, you're just rolling the dice to see if you're not going to be one of the ones that die from it. One of my Army Reserve soldiers died. Just, we took a day and just got 30 vaccines of different things before we got ready for deployment. And one of our soldiers just died. Jesus, after the deployment was over. She went home and died. As a female soldier, I'm upset about that. I'm pissed that we basically murdered.
All vaccines are poison. That's all they've ever been. And there's so much research by so many different people that you can't escape the conclusion. There's only one conclusion to draw once you start spending the time. It's kind of like what Jim Fetzer does with all his various research on all the different topics and hoaxes he's done. You look into Sandy Hook. Once you start looking into it, there's only one conclusion you can draw. The same with the moon landings. Well, it happens to be true with vaccines and vaccine science. Go to vaccinefraud.com. Go to BitChute. Type in pandemic theater, the history of the infection theory of disease. Pandemic theater, the history of the infection theory of disease. So you'll get it in your head. You look at the work of Suzanne Humphreys, Dr. Gary Null, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, so on and so on, and you will quickly conclude that no vaccine is necessary for people to be well or to be immune from a disease. That's not the way it's ever worked, and it's always been a fraud and a scam to injure us. Thank you.
Right, but the standard of proof doesn't have to be perfect. One of the things I argue with Jim about is I call it the Banachek moment. There used to be a TV show where at the end of the show, Banachek took a mystery and wrapped it all up in a public relations, you know, press conference and brilliantly does the explanation. We don't have to have everything figured out. You show fraud, just one instance of fraud in this vaccination scam. That's enough to say, ho, avoid this because you can't afford to be wrong once. If you're wrong once, you could end up like that female Army Reserve soldier dead. You can't afford to be wrong once.
And the problem that we have, of course, in this country, and I'm sure you know well and everybody on this call knows well, is the actual mental and emotional entrainment that's been engendered by our media and our school system, who lies to us from birth. Our parents lie to us unknowingly. I mean, I got all kinds of different shots when I was growing up. I was actually given fluoride pills, okay? So in other words, you know, because they thought that, well, fluoride prevents cavities. So, again, it's just one of those things where people are laboring under an illusion, under a belief system that has been deliberately foisted upon us for their devious purposes.
Paul, you're so right. Actually, fluoride is a neurotoxin. It's a poison. It'll kill you. I have a friend in New York who is being targeted because he'd invented something and wanted to claim propriety when a big company had, you know, was seeking to turn him down, defeat him, and they used a dentist to apply a massive concoction of fluoride plus to kill him. If he hadn't been a vegan and gone home to drink a huge fruit smoothly, he wouldn't be alive today. But contrary to preserving your teeth, all of his teeth have decayed and fallen out as a consequence of the massive poison using fluoride.
Yes, it goes perfectly with the world of inversion. It's so sick and disgusting. But yes, I remember picking up a book probably back in the late 70s or early 80s, and it was called The Grim Truth About Fluoridation. And the book was written in the 50s, and it showed more or less conclusively that fluoride damages the teeth and it causes something called modeling, And so, yeah, it weakens you on a number of different levels. So this is just, there's only one way out of this. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be voting. And I would also say to your guest, who's indicated that the Biden and Harris are going to be the cause of rioting, looting, and murder, I think that it's going to be probably worse when Trump gets in. That's my opinion. I think that either way, I think these people win.
Why, assuming Trump serves a second term, do you think matters are going to get worse? Because I don't believe he's going to pal around with any of these people. I think he's going to be very severe, my opinion. Your take?
I hope so, and I hope you're right. But I guess my take would be that, you know, Trump supporters are generally going to be much more law-abiding and less unhinged than these Antifa, you know, wackos. I mean, I've run into these people myself in person, not just watching them on YouTube. You can see how unhinged they are, but actually in person, literally, you cannot really talk to them. It's almost beyond belief.
Yes. It's cognitive dissonance run amok. They won't hear anything contrary to their firmly held beliefs, which they've only acquired through constant repetition by means of the mainstream media, where they've never raised their least digit to do any research whatsoever. Just as you were recommending others should do, Paul, and I endorse your recommendation 100%. Mike, we're almost to the end. We've had excellent calls from Dominic in New York and Bruce in Texas and Paul in California. I want you to have the chance to add a few final words.
1945 was the last time America was great, if people ask. At that time, we started to get the hang of war by direct participation of all of the American people. The deep state Illuminati said, we're not going to let this happen again. We're not going to let James Gavin, Matthew Ridgway, and all these upstarts get in control of the country. Look what the country did when America got mobilized in World War II. We put an end to the war too quickly and too soon. So since 1945, one of the mandates, number one of their goals, is to destroy the individual can make a difference. And that also means don't have these good faith people run the affairs of the country. President Trump becoming POTUS is an example of what they don't want to have happen. Is somebody operating on good faith being in charge of any part of the country. And that is exactly what he's done.
Listening to Revolution.